everybody. Welcome to Pushing Buttons, part of the Geek Freaks Network. We talk all about video games and stuff here. My name's Kevin.
And I am Frank.
Welcome back, man. How does it feel to be back? This is your first episode after, what, a week and a half of no recording?
Which I do miss podcasting. I miss the podcasting part of podcasting, not the rest of it. And there's a lot of the rest of it. So the vacation was nice, but I was also itching to get back to it. So it's good to be home.
Nice. Question for you, though. It's not one of those like questions that we ask at the beginning of the other shows. I just am curious. If you have played a game since coming back from your vacation, what was the first game that you just immediately went to?
So you're not going to like this. World of Warcraft right now, they've got the Wrath Classic. And so We're all leveling like fiends. And you know what was really nice, actually? When I came back, Daniel hopped on, Scott hopped on, and it was like 2008 again. And,
oh, shoot.
And I was just doing dungeons together, screwing around, you know, stupid pools and having fun. And I was like, man, guys, honestly, this is like fun. I haven't had this much fun in a bit on this game. So that was a lot of fun. I will say, though, I brought on the cruise my Steam Deck. And I originally was like, nah, the Steam Deck's okay. I've made that thing a ROM machine, and now it's a triumph. And I've been going Game Boy Advance games like a mother. And I play this Kirby, and because I love all Kirby games, and I hadn't played this one. It's Kirby in the Mirror World or something like that. And it was really, really good. Challenging. It had a lot of, it must have came out at the time when like one of the Smash Brothers games came out, because it had a lot of Smash Brothers references. It was a lot of fun. So
nice.
I give Steam Deck a second chance, guys. Go check that out.
I still really want one, man. I really do. Those things cost some serious cash,
yeah,
though.
Too much. I should have spent this much, but
you want to talk about serious cash. There's a lot of cash to be made in the video game industry in general. And so many of these companies are just, they're buying up other companies. They're taking properties and killing them, taking studios and axing them. So we're going to kind of dig into a little bit of the ethics and our opinions about companies buying up other companies, acquisitions and mergers and such in regards to video games.
In general, when you hear one company's buying another company, what's your immediate reaction?
When it comes to video games specifically?
Right, yeah. In this case, let's keep it to video games specifically.
For me, it's Electronic Arts. Yeah. That's the big one that pops out to me. It's probably not the big one that you're thinking of right now. But Electronic Arts has, throughout time, I think there's a list. I'm looking at a list from heavy.com.
Classic.
It's got 14 different studios that EA has bought over the years and has since axed. I'm sure they bought a lot more than 14. These are 14 video game companies that they bought and have that no longer exist.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of.
Yeah. EA is a really good example. They were a little bit of a monster. Embracer Group is a company nobody talks about, except for people who actually pay attention to gaming news. And they're like, guys, that's a sleeping giant. They are buying a lot of your favorites.
They're the Tencent of 2022.
If
Tencent
really
wasn't still a huge.
Yeah, Tencent's still there. They're a little bit of a noisier giant.
Right.
But yeah, I would definitely say Embracer Group, and then, of course, Microsoft. And Microsoft's interesting because with their recent gaming stances, when I hear that they're buying a company, I'm generally happy about it. Like with the Bethesda purchase, I thought this is major. This is so big. But then I was like, cool, Skyrim on everything. You know, like, oh, there's all kinds of benefits in my opinion. And so I immediately had a good opinion about it. Yeah.
So with Bethesda, though, it wasn't even just that it was Bethesda. It was the entirety of ZeniMax.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So ZeniMax with it also had, I've never heard of AlphaDog Games, but they also, that included Arcane Games Studios, that included all of Bethesda, that included all of id, and id itself is like a huge name in gaming.
AlphaDog used to be actually a really big name in gaming too.
What are they from?
Don't remember what they made, but I remember seeing their logo. You know how, like, you see the logo like spin back in the PS2 days or whatever. I remember seeing that logo a lot.
They've apparently made 3 games and they're all mobile games.
Oh, well then fuck me, I guess.
I just clicked on it. They're from Nova Scotia and they've made Wraithborn, Monstro City Rampage, and Mighty Doom.
None of those games I've played. I thought I remember seeing the Red Paw, whatever. Oh my God, these guys.
I wonder what you're thinking of. Because I can, when you said that, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. I'm glad I didn't say that. Yeah. I bit my tongue on that one.
Editing. No, I'll keep it. But yeah, and with that, you, what were you thinking? Like, is this going to give me more access? Or were you thinking, like, in the grander scope of gaming, this will limit competition? Because that's kind of what it, the broad strokes boils down to, in my opinion.
So when I brought up EA, my first thought is, oh, great, they're going to kill another company. Some of my other favorite video games are not coming back anymore. But when you start getting into some of the bigger companies, like your Microsofts and mm-hmm. such, I start thinking about maybe some of the people aren't going to be working there anymore. Maybe money's going to be moving a little differently. Some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that doesn't necessarily we as gamers don't think about so much, but we as people that watch the, like, read Reddit and internet news and stuff are aware of. Did my dog just open and close my door?
You have a ghost dog. I don't know if you know this or not. It's Halloween, guys. Okay. And Kevin's dealing with a ghost dog at his house. Oh, your new home, new ghost.
Oh, it is a new home. Yes. Yeah. So we just moved in 2 months ago.
I think a lot of it comes down to the company doing the purchasing, because EA, for example, we all know money hungry, blah, 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 blah. Ubisoft, repeat, you know, mechanics. They don't do anything brand new. So when one of those companies makes a purchase, you assume they're going to make sure that the new game fits into their cogwheels, not vice versa. Right. They're like, oh, great. So they just bought, you know, say they just signed a big deal with Star Wars. So every EA game now is going to have a DLC fest and be really lame. I wasn't wrong.
No, you weren't. Yeah, no, you weren't wrong at all.
But then again, the positives of that as well, because again, I'm going to be leaning a lot on Microsoft in this conversation, guys, and we'll be going, because there's an article that was just released. And it's kind of the basis of this conversation. And I am generally pro Microsoft within the last 10 years of them doing business. And so when they make an acquisition, and there's two big notable ones they'll be discussing, I look at what Microsoft has already done well for me. And my tentpole example for them has always been Sea of Thieves, a game that they've let breathe and develop into something very valuable. It originally launched, it was not great. It had limited things you could do. They let it be something great. And something that does not charge me an arm and a leg. It's part of Game Pass. I've actually bought the game out of respect for it. I didn't need to. And the constant content update has all been free. There are, like, pets now that you could buy, but you don't have to. Again, I have bought those pets more so out of respect for the game that's given me so much content for free, which is kind of weird, right? But that's how it is. So when they buy a company and I'm like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Skyrim is now going to be on Game Pass kind of thing. How cool is that, right?
Yeah, when it comes to Microsoft, I'm the exact same way, man. Like, Microsoft has been so forward-thinking when it comes to usability and just ease of access for all of their stuff.
And accessibility, too. Sorry, throwing that in there.
Accessibility, they've been huge on since, the 360 era, I think, or maybe a little bit after that. But they're the company that, how can we get our product into the most amount of people's, either in their hands or in front of their eyes or whatever the deal is, how can we sell the most or do the most without necessarily being evil about it?
So let's today, as we step through the different aspects, there's an article that came out. Blizzard is currently in the process of buying out Activision Blizzard. Huge name. We talked about it on Geek Freaks extensively because we're all...
Want to clarify, Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard. What did you say? Blizzard buying Activision Blizzard.
In a perfect world, yeah, that would have happened, but Microsoft did it.
Which Activision buying Blizzard in and of itself years ago was huge. Actually, that's a very good point.
And it's so funny you mentioned that, actually, because since that day, Bobby Kotick has been a name you say and you spit on the ground because you're like, curse that man, because he initiated that deal. And when Blizzard, this, like, what we idolized as a perfect company, which we find out later on it was not, was being purchased by these bastards that make the Crash Bandicoot games. We were all angry. And at the time, they had a really bad reputation with Call of Duty. It was kind of a new game every year that wasn't great. Anyway, so with this acquisition held by Microsoft, they have to get approved by multiple countries. This process takes a long time. Every one of these companies that we talk about, they do this. But the big difference this time is Microsoft is trying to, or I'm sorry, PlayStation is fighting back and are trying to claim specifically that Call of Duty becoming a Microsoft-only property would damage gaming as a whole. And, you know, me and Squeeze discussed this earlier on another show. that, yeah, they might have a point with that, because it has actually become the standard first-person shooter. But also, there's a little bit of like a revenge in me that's like, hey, for a long time, I've been an Xbox person. I haven't been playing God of War, so sucks to be you. You know, it's not, I don't know. What are your thoughts on all that?
It's hard because, I mean, I do agree to some extent. Call of Duty is synonymous with video games. Mm-hmm. If you see a video game video on TikTok, more than likely it's Fortnite or Call of Duty or GTA. Those are the three games, the three biggest games right now, I believe. An argument for Microsoft, shit, an argument for Minecraft, which is also owned by Mojang's owned by Microsoft.
Yeah.
It could be an argument for that, but, yeah, I think that there is some argument. Sony's on the right track with that. They could, I think they might be stretching it a little bit. Yeah. It might be more of their bottom line that they're thinking of, which you can't fault them for that, because that's why Microsoft's doing this to begin with, is for their bottom line. So I don't know. It's up to the lawyers, I think, to decide where the money's going to fall.
And Microsoft, to clarify just real quick, has said Call of Duty is going to be available on all systems. And they've actually gone, and we'll go into this a little bit further, going into more about that, how that's actually a beneficial thing. But we can't deny the fact that, of course, they're saying that for now. When the day comes, they could close those gates. And if I was a Call of Duty player, there's no doubt I'd go to Xbox over PlayStation if it was an exclusive over there. You know, nuts and bolts, the two systems are not very different. Why not? You know, so it comes out of controller in the end of the day for a lot of us. Let's talk about the three things, the three different aspects that Xbox is trying to claim are beneficial for this acquisition. First is benefits for the players. They're saying that this will get more games on more devices, including Xbox, PlayStation, phones, and online. Do you think there's some validity to that?
I'm not going to deny that they probably believe it. I don't know how could it be more accessible if one of the companies owns it. I don't understand that necessarily.
I think they're saying the cloud gaming is a biggie. Like, they're pushing their cloud gaming so much right now, the xCloud. They're saying that anything that we own, eventually you can get on your phone, and so it's available everywhere. You know, they're really kind of pushed. They might be stretching a little bit. Just everybody right now is kind of stretching a little bit, right? I like how they make sure to throw PlayStation in there.
Yeah, they had to.
You know, because I think that they're constantly trying to check them.
I mean, all of their Bethesda games are still available cross-platform. All the Rare games are still available cross-platform. So, there's probably merit to that.
And in our discussion with the console wars we had recently, there was a big thing where it's like Xbox is now a brand company, not necessarily a console company. And they're putting it to the test in this article they released. One of the things that I totally agree with Microsoft on is they're saying that when everything's under one house like this, it unifies the business side of things. So buying tokens in Minecraft or whatever will be similar to buying tokens in Sea of Thieves as it would be in Skyrim or whatever else. So all these little microtransactions will be under the same account. So it's like using Steam points maybe to buy stuff or whatever. I would like to not have DLCs, like all these little, but if they're there, it's probably best to have it all in one house.
Yeah, that seems like you're creating a problem just to have your own solution at that point. Like, they have the problem of so much DLC that it's okay because it's all under one roof.
Right.
Like, that doesn't track with me.
And then they're saying the subscription stuff will be under one place. So, like your Game Pass. And so, for example, everybody who plays World of Warcraft pays $15 a month to play World of Warcraft. They have since 2004. And if it's included in Game Pass, well, then heck yeah, I'm going to have Game Pass as well. And I'm far less likely to cancel Game Pass. Now, for World of Warcraft, there are times when I stop playing WoW and I cancel my sub for a few months. Well, I'm not, why would I pay for it, basically? Same thing happens for Game Pass. But if those two are interlinked, that thing's probably never getting canceled, right? Because if I'm not playing Game Pass, or then I'm playing WoW and vice versa. So there's a little bit of like a stopgap in there. And there's other subscription games too. I can't think of any right now. Those are the two that I spend money on.
Right.
Yeah.
I can liken that to Disney. If I had to pay a Star Wars subscription and a Marvel subscription and a National Geographic, which I never watch subscription, Disney Plus wraps all that stuff into one. So I'm okay paying for all of it. I, I, I get it. It makes sense.
That's actually a really good example, because like when Mandalorian's not on, if there's not like WandaVision coming on soon, then it's getting canceled.
Right. And for me, I just always keep it. I keep my Disney Plus year round, and I do the same thing with Game Pass. And yeah, if there's more stuff under the Game Pass banner, I'd be more likely to keep it myself.
Yeah. Any other benefits to players you see out of this kind of a merger?
Well, they're also claiming that that 95% of gamers who play on phones, alternatives to gaming offers from the dominant mobile platforms. I'm trying to parse how they wrote that. That there's going to be more alternatives to iOS and Android. Is that what they're saying?
I think what they're trying to say is that because I think it leans back on the cloud gaming thing, that basically they're going to supersede the idea of iOS or Android. It's going to just be connecting to Game Pass through a URL kind of thing.
I don't know. I'm always so sketched out that the end user is going to be shafted in these. This is a $70 billion acquisition. It might be the biggest one in video game history. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but if it's not, it's very, very close to the biggest. Probably the biggest for Microsoft. Yeah. And Activision Blizzard is a huge name in video games, and they're already scummy. And that could be the benefit, is that putting that scum under the Microsoft banner would just make them lift them all up, I would hope, or maybe it'll drag Microsoft down.
So what's interesting you're bringing that up, because Microsoft themselves are not saying that out loud, that part of it. But every other gaming news source that's touching this brings that part up, saying that likely what one of the big things they're kind of not saying but saying is the fact that, hey, we're going to clean up all the shit that's going on in Blizzard right now. Because unfortunately, Blizzard, we've talked about it multiple times, has a bunch of sexual harassment problems, and they're actually having a bunch of union issues right now. And Microsoft will come through and they have a really good HR department. They have really good standards for their game development teams and have been less against unions, which isn't saying much in the gaming industry, unfortunately, but that's the case. So there's something there to be wanted, you know.
Hopefully it could lead to that. I'm very cynical, especially when Activision Blizzard is involved. And if Bobby Kotick doesn't like immediately lose his title and like position in the company, I would say they can give him whatever title they want and say he's staying on board with this salary. I don't care. Get him out of power.
As a fan of Blizzard for so long, I want him like his head on a pike in front of Microsoft headquarters, really. but yeah, sure. Let's give him custodial position. But yeah, I want him out.
That's like the worst that happens to those kinds of people, is they'll get a
with a $30 billion bonus or some nonsense. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and then they'll get fired the next year with a $60 million severance pay or something.
Yeah,
and still keep getting their anyway. I think that Microsoft could potentially bring specifically the Activision brand up.
Yeah. Here's a quote from Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith back on February 10th this year, talking about like the exclusivity and how this actually will benefit everyone, how they're going to not try to be exclusive. Okay, so one of the things we're being very clear about as we move forward with the regulatory review of this acquisition is that the great titles like Call of Duty from Activision Blizzard today will continue to be available on Sony PlayStation. We like to bring it to Nintendo devices. We'd like to bring other popular Activision Blizzard titles to PlayStation and Nintendo as well. So games that are like exclusively to PC type of thing. And then they go on to explain that this is what we did with Minecraft. Minecraft was a PC game only, and then we made it a staple on everything now. I have it personally on my Switch, my phone, my everything. And there's a Java version that the hardcore fans like Fly Pirate swear by. And some of us have just adopted the Microsoft version, and now the two are so copacetic that it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, it's because it's on everything. They made it super easy to use. Do you think that the idea, first off, I mean, it just kind of blows my mind. It brings me back to like N64 days, putting Call of Duty or like these big titles on a Nintendo, right? Doesn't sound right anymore.
No, yeah, I couldn't imagine back in the day, like, the fact that GoldenEye 007 was available on the N64 was so out of the ordinary for me.
And yet one of the staple games.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you think of like Call of Duty, you're like, yeah, why isn't Call of Duty on the Nintendo Switch? Which you understand, it's just not the right vibe for it. But with a powerhouse like Microsoft, and the fact that Microsoft and Nintendo, we've talked about it before, have been working together very well over the last like 6 years. Yeah, I could see them trying to make this happen. And then Call of Duty, that kind of a mobile, that game on a mobile powerhouse, like on a Switch, that's going to be very big for players.
Yeah, I don't know what else they'd be able to do besides that, because all the other games are already cross-platform that I can think of, at least. Like Diablo 3 is on everything. It's even now Diablo Immortal on the phone, but Diablo 3 itself is on Xbox 360, Xbox One, and the new Xbox, as well as PlayStations 3, 4, and 5. I think it's on the PlayStation 5, and it's even on the, I own it on the Nintendo Switch.
And it plays very well on the Switch too, actually.
Oh yeah, it's like meant for the Switch is what it feels like to me.
It was really cool at BlizzCon. They had this like section where you could play Diablos, and they just had Switches like all lined up on big screens, and it was just freaking cool. You just hopped in with your friends and played some levels. But yeah, I personally, of course, World of Warcraft is top of my mind always when we're talking about this kind of stuff. And we've been asking for a mobile version of the game. There was a scrapped project that was bringing it to mobile. So like, yeah, the Switch could totally handle a version of WoW. Not necessarily full-on blown WoW, but classic. It could handle classic, a bastardized version, which I'd be fine with. I'm not asking for them to, you know, do a full PC version. It's like the Civilization games. Sometimes they'll put the Civilization games on Switch. And you're like, I get it. I'm not playing Civ 6, the real one. I'm playing, you know,
right,
the one that'll get the itch scratched. But they have a very good point here with Minecraft. I think the fact that Nintendo has already cashed his check in the past is very impressive to me.
Yeah, you're at least throwing your clout out there. Like, you've done this in the past. You can show that you can do it in the future. It also... I'm very cynical. I'm sorry. This comes off
and I'm
very,
a very optimistic,
buzzwordy.
So it's kind of, you know.
It's good to get the combination of both of us, but it sounds very corporate buzzwordy. Like, it's the intention is obviously to talk themselves up and to put themselves in the position to be able to do something with this potential acquisition. It's a lot of big words that I normally don't say.
You got
say,
fancy on us, man. You got fancy.
But it seems like they're going too far out of their way for it. Like, there's obviously some kind of downside to somebody somewhere. But the interesting part that I just read this quote, and I like it the most, from the same guy, from Brad Smith. That's the one that you just read a quote from too, right? Mm-hmm. He says that there's too much friction exists today between creators and gamers. Yeah. App Store policies and practices on mobile devices restrict what and how creators can offer games and what and how gamers can play them. So basically saying that they want to expand even to the mobile, like you were saying, with cloud gaming, expand to mobile, kind of bypass the monopoly that iOS and Android have on the market.
Yeah.
But the first part of the sentence, that friction exists between creators and gamers, we see that this could be another topic for another time.
Yeah, we're going to do.
That people that play games are so involved, I want to say. That's the wrong word. But
oh, great word. Great word. No,
we get so much of a peek behind the curtain compared to the past about how games are made, the process along the way. And that's what leads to
early access and stuff like that.
Yeah. And more and more leaks that are, you know, a 4 second clip of something can leak out there, like the GTA 6 stuff that just leaked recently. That was more than 4 seconds. But you get a very early peek at something that you're not supposed to see. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, this game looks like shit. It looks like it's unfinished. It's not finished, though.
Right.
I don't know what Microsoft could do to better that image. If that's what they're trying to... I don't know. The friction between gamers and creators is what... That's what I thought of when I read that. And I don't know. Does the Microsoft image fix that for Activision Blizzard?
Well, I don't know if it fixes... So... For certain games like Overwatch and WoW have a lot of tuning in them. So there's a lot of numbers that are being changed. I mean, they're just one through line of code that changes the characters so minimally, but you know, the gamers take a lot out of that. That kind of stuff, they're constantly being data mined. And I think the idea that like what Microsoft brings to the table is, first off, just the powerhouse of their security team to make sure that there's less of that.
But like they also have their own security software and stuff too. Like they, exactly. they do, they've got the infrastructure,
which is getting better and better by the day, actually. But also with that, they come with the idea of like, don't worry, it will be fixed. We're not a small company worried about the next patch. We could take our time to make sure this is done right. And I think there's a level of like, it's like, instead of just like the parents that are barely going check by check, like, oh, we'll make this work. Hold on. Give me a sec. We got to wait for that next check and then we'll make it work. Da, 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 da. It's less that and more like, I've got the 401k and it, you know, and I've got this and don't worry. You want to go to Disneyland? Okay, we'll go this summer. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? It's a little more safety net involved there.
Yeah.
In the Blizzard
kind of had that feeling though when Activision bought them though. Like Activision's not a small company by any stretch. No, or wasn't
that's
a small
why this
company
is a
before
huge
the
deal.
Merger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it feels a little bit more like that again, but with Microsoft having the reputation of a better company.
Yeah. And I think that it's going to go a long way in this. And I think that's something that PlayStation can't deny. Like, I would argue that outside of like Nintendo, which even they got sexual harassment stuff going on with them recently, that Microsoft is as good as it gets in gaming right now. You know, let's also talk about, so we have benefits for game creators is one of the things they're pitching. And we have that there's a better revenue and fair marketplace rules throughout the App Store. We talked about this with, you know, Epic and Apple going to war and then Google and Epic and blah, 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 blah. Everybody's trying to figure out these new rules. They're trying to explain that, like, hey, you just develop something that's based off of, you know, probably C++ or some random thing, you know, like here are the set things that all Microsoft's going to use. If you could fit under those very broad rules, we'll make sure it works on this, this, and this. So as a game developer, I you know, we've talked with game developers in the past here on our podcast about how, like, well, I'm not going with Epic because they use this, or I have to worry about, I can't do mobile because I have to change how these buttons work. Microsoft's like, just fit it in these rules and we'll make sure the system translates it for you, is the vibe I'm getting from this. I think that's a good move for the small indie creators, which are already just putting so much work into their projects.
How does that relate to Activision Blizzard, though?
Well, that's fair. What they're saying here, I think, is this, I think, was kind of a catch-all for the idea that they're going to be they're acquiring
gotcha.
More companies, right?
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think they're kind of laying the framework for get ready for the acquiring wars. Oh, that's a, there we go, topic for another time. That sounds dope.
I think if there's not, there needs to be a Microsoft meets Ferengi rules of acquisition.
Like, well, I think we're looking at them right now.
I kind of think so, yeah.
Oh, Jonathan is so desperately working on a Ferengi acquisition TikTok channel, guys. He's working so hard on it right
man.
Now.
I want to see that when that comes into fruition.
Yeah.
But I mean, Microsoft was kind of leading the way with indies being accessible to gamers. Yeah. Xbox Live Arcade and Xbox Live Indie Games was massive. And they made it really, really simple for anybody that could make anything using, it was Microsoft's XNA framework to make a game. To I think it was just $100 that you had to pay, which is a lot for a lot of small indie companies or people building a game by themselves. But have $100, throw it up on the Xbox Live Indie Games thing, see what sticks, gets enough traction. All of a sudden you're on Xbox Live Arcade with the big dogs.
Right.
So they were huge into that in the 360 era. If they bring something like that into Game Pass with the money that they can get through an acquisition of Activision Blizzard size, then I'm all for it, honestly.
And then, you know, again, the optimist here talking is, for Apple, it is $100 to get your app on the App Store, right? And it could be a garbage app, doesn't matter, $100. It has to do some things. But with Microsoft, when you do that, you're not going to be on people's iPhones. You're going to be on their iPhones. You're going to be on their Xboxes, on their PCs. Like, it goes to so many more places. And I think that's kind of where they're pitching it, is like, we're not just an app store for your phone. We're an app store for the brand.
The other thing is, like, even with Steam, it's $100 to get your game on the platform. Steam doesn't curate shit anymore.
Not
Microsoft
at all. They're
does.
Terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just as bad as Apple and Steam is. But yeah, Microsoft at least curates their stuff and they have a hand in making sure that the success of the people that they elevate. Because if the people that they're elevating do good business, it's good business for them as well.
Yeah.
Everybody makes money that way. So they seem very smart that way.
Yeah, and just as a good example, like there's a lot of games on Steam that are just like Steam doesn't step in on a game's release unless it's like catching the news. And we've seen a few of those that are pretty bad. But like even on Microsoft's App Store, the App Store itself isn't great, but the games that you get from there, they might be cheap games that like your grandma would play, you know what I'm talking about, like some solitaire with fish or some shit. But it's a stable game, and you can't say that sometimes with Steam. So it's pretty nice in that way.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is that they're talking about the revenue split with creators versus the platform that it's selling on. If they want to go the route of Epic and tout, you know, better revenue split with especially the smaller creators, I'm definitely all for that. Yeah. There's no way that anybody should be able to should be against that whatsoever.
Yeah. And again, just the idea that like you have Microsoft's revenue system in place, so you're not dealing with Valve doing payments and they're using a third party company. Microsoft has their own payment company, and it's the same one that you connect to your phone, that's connected to your PC, that's connected to an Xbox. So it goes all there. So I mean, again, the optimist in me is like, dude, I'm gonna buy Minecraft on my phone, and when I get home, I'm gonna play it on my Xbox, and then at night, I'm gonna be chilling with my friends and playing it on the PC. Off that one purchase, hell yeah, that's a deal. Again, I'm looking at the sunny side of things.
Yeah, it's hard though to keep looking at the sunny side of things. Like, just for an instant, just take the word Microsoft out and replace it with Electronic Arts.
Don't trust them. Yeah,
I know. I mean, it's hard to trust any company with another company to not make the money grubbing decision of just creating a monopoly. And I know that it wouldn't last for too long, but they could make a shitload of money and determine rules for how video games are created, bought, and played for years to come.
Well, and that's the thing too, is under the, like right now, this is all about accessibility, blah, 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 to everybody, right? That's the pitch they're giving us. But they're also creating a monopoly. They're saying like, if we do this and we keep doing this, eventually, if you guys just all join us in this, then who else are you going to join? Eventually, everybody will starve. And Microsoft, they were split up. This is back in the day, guys, we actually used to split up monopolies. This is a pretty neat thing we used to do. And in the 90s, Microsoft was actually split up as a monopoly at one point. And they're on track. I mean, like they're planning it out again. They're just going to do it in the gaming front.
Yeah.
Looking at the slides, by the way, we have two slides. And we have them up on our headlines, guys. Check them out. The second slide, did you notice how much gaming has like taken over the revenue of entertainment?
I didn't even look at that one. I was so fixated on that first one's slide. Really great. But yeah. Oh my gosh, that is insane.
Yeah, Netflix has come out in 2021 saying that our main competition is not Hulu, it's Fortnite. And when you see this slide, okay, that makes sense because it's way past anything.
I mean, it makes sense. I don't know if you guys know this about me. I'm a professional wrestling fan. Vince McMahon, when he was still in charge of WWE, he always said for years and years that his biggest competition wasn't WCW, wasn't ECW, it's not now AEW. It's anything that could, it's Disney Plus, it's Fortnite, it's anything that could take time away from viewing WWE product.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that that's how a lot of these gaming companies are starting to see, and Netflix, like you were saying, are starting to see other forms of entertainment as competition with each other. It's not just a gaming space. It's a, how am I spending my free time space now?
Ooh, that's a great way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. And that's just the way we're getting now. It kind of reminds me, it feels very Black Mirror-ish in a way.
Yes.
But it's a great show.
Netflix is good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'd rather watch Netflix than WWE. But anyway. Yeah.
My parents watch Netflix on their Xbox, so here we're back on course.
That was what my 360 was when
it was my first one too.
When the disc drive ended up dying, I still used it as my Netflix machine. Had the loudest fan ever.
Did you
but
get the wireless internet on it, or were you wired?
Oh, I was wired. I was definitely wired.
I did the wireless,
so
you put that little thing in the back that like two antennas come up. Doop. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, I'm so in the future, guys. It's amazing. Use this thing called Wi-Fi.
Nice.
All right, moving over to benefits for the gaming industry. The third aspect that they're trying to claim is like the beneficial thing. They're saying it's going to be more competition in mobile, where a couple of the big players dominate. Well, here's the thing, guys. One of the big players is Activision Blizzard. So, because they own King, which you guys probably recognize because your mom plays Candy Crush all day, and they own Candy Crush. So, I don't believe him on this one 100%. Actually, I think Microsoft's kind of just BS on this because they're buying the big competition. They're not making more of it.
I think they're talking about iOS and Android to some extent on this.
Okay.
Like the platforms rather than the games themselves.
Could you imagine if they try to launch their phones again? Remember how they had the Microsoft phone?
Oh, man.
Which I almost bought.
I was going to bring up the Zune earlier.
I am a big fan of the Zune. I still have one that works and everything. Yeah, because it...
Oh, my gosh.
Because it used to actually play movies and stuff very well. So you'd have to, like, use their terrible PC app. But I used to drive a lot for work, so I'd have the Zune up watching Everybody Loves Raymond.
But I don't. Oh, man. That's got to make your drive so much worse. What the hell?
No, it's great. I didn't think about that. Yeah, so you're actually saying with like the big companies, not necessarily like the developers, but with the actual platforms,
right? That's what I would think, especially after what you had said earlier about, you know, cloud gaming kind of taking over the necessity for an iOS or an Android system.
The other thing they're talking about is greater competition in traditional gaming. Specifically, this is very weird for me, but Xbox in multiple interviews has said, guys, we're like the fourth or fifth biggest video game publishers behind Sony and Nintendo by a while. They say Sony's number one, guys, and they keep pushing this. It's so weird to hear a company feigning weakness, you know?
I think that's just, it's a strategy. Like it's all a strategy in order to try to make this seem like less of a potential monopoly than it might actually end up being.
It feels weird, though.
In the past, how many times have you seen in one page on Microsoft.com the words Sony and or Nintendo in one page? Never as much as on this one page.
Never as much. Yeah, this thing is packed full of, especially PlayStation.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of eerie how much they're like, no, look, guys, we promise we're not going to take over.
Right.
And it's like some like snake that it's made to look like a branch or something like that, you know?
My pro wrestling brain is thinking of that sign of Vince McMahon holding up a WCW logo and ECW is like, I bought my competition or something like that. Yeah, I'm thinking of that in my brain now.
God, I'm sure he wanted to. One of my favorite memes, totally off topic, might even cut this out, but it's one of the people use it all the time where Vince McMahon's doing an interview with Stephanie at one point, and somebody like whispers to him, like, he's in the. And then you're just like, what? Where is he? And he goes, and people are always like, oh, this is King Viserys when he finds out Damien's in town or something like that. And I was like, ah, it's one of my favorite memes. Vince McMahon was made for the internet.
Yes.
I think in the end of the day.
Yeah, he's a meme. He's a meme machine.
He is. One of the things they're trying to pitch here is the idea that, like, we're going to bring our games to Nintendo because Nintendo's been happily outside of the console war. But it kind of sounds like Xbox is like, no, we're going to bring you guys back into it. Do you think they can do that?
I think they're trying to change what the console war is. And I hope that's what they're intending to do. Like, they realize that the console war is only a thing in fanboys' minds for the most part nowadays. They're saying that we are going to work with Sony and we want to work with Nintendo as much as they'll allow us to work with them.
Yeah,
I think that's what they're getting at.
And Nintendo, it started off with Minecraft, but there has been talks in past interviews with Phil Spencer, the guy that's in charge, saying that they're trying to get Game Pass on Switch.
Oh, man.
Right? And NVIDIA, they're put out a new handheld system that's coming out in the next like year or so. It's going to be fully cloud gaming, fully Game Pass ran. And so they're on board with getting into the handheld system race, and they're going to be kind of tailor-made for it if they're pushing for it like this.
If Microsoft and Nintendo were to collaborate more, I think that would be a better use of Microsoft's time than acquiring Activision Blizzard, at least in the short term.
Yeah,
probably not in the long term, but in the short term, because Sony is Microsoft's and Nintendo's biggest competition in the gaming space right now.
Yeah, and they can do it all through Rare. I mean, Rare and Nintendo used to work together so well, now Rare is owned by... And so, like, I right away, of course, Diddy Kong Racing, but Conker's Bad Fur Day. If you guys don't remember that game, that thing was dope, and it was, like, so edgy. But, you know, that was, and it's all owned by Microsoft, and Microsoft has already, with Banjo-Kazooie, let Nintendo use them. That Banjo-Kazooie and Steve from Minecraft are in Smash Brothers because they have this cool relationship now where they're friendly with each other. It's, again, the fact that Sega works with Nintendo so much, it just feels weird. But, yeah. And then this last statement, we're going to read it verbatim because it's important that we do. Emphasis on positive workplace culture and increased local investment from Microsoft in studio and creative ecosystem around the world. That, in a real quick sum up, means no more sexual harassment. We're okay with unions in a very, very, very broad stroke way. It's saying it without saying it. Is that what you're getting out of this?
Yeah, if there's any chance in hell that Microsoft mentions positive workplace culture, just those three words, they're like saying, yeah, we know what's wrong with Activision Blizzard, yep, at least in the public's eye right now, yep, and we're going to fix that shit quick.
Yes, and that makes me the most happiest because I love Blizzard and what I grew up to believe they were. StarCraft back in the 90s, guys, was so awesome. And if Microsoft could come in and save the day, the guys that made Halo, Minecraft, and Sea of Thieves, if they could save the day and save StarCraft, World of Warcraft, and Overwatch, okay. You know? And if the guys that kept me out of being able to play God of War and Death Stranding and stuff like that are complaining about it, well, I'm sorry, but my old console war fanboy is kicking in pretty hard right now. And it's nice. Telling me, like, no, you guys made exclusive first. And that's not fair, but that's just what is happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just really hoping that, and I'll give Microsoft the benefit of the doubt because I haven't heard anything. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm not. I haven't heard anything about massive layoffs from any of the companies recently that Microsoft has acquired. Whereas when you look at some of the other companies, like especially with EA, but anywhere in any form of entertainment or outside, just in acquisitions in corporations in general, there's always layoffs and downsizing. And to the point where, especially with EA, it's like, what's the point of even acquiring the company if you're going to just kill them all off anyway, or, you know, let go of all the people? Now you own the IP and you're not doing anything with it. I don't think Microsoft is going to go the Electronic Arts path with their acquisitions. And they've shown thus far that they have a more noble mission with these acquisitions.
Well, and then with Square Enix Montreal is a good example of something. So Embracer Group, again, the monster, the multi-headed monster, they bought Square Enix Montreal. And there were some layoffs, but then they just straight up renamed the company. So there's this kind of weird thing where, I've actually been in a company where they get rid of a division, my division, but they're going to take a couple people and move them into different places. Like, we could save like 5 of you out of 20. And that environment is anxiety, like, maxed out. It's so frustrating. And I literally have seen people crying as they get called to the boss's office. That's freaking terrible. And that's what goes on in these companies when they get acquired by somebody else. The yep. people that work at Square Enix Montreal, which makes fantastic games, I think they're the ones that do The Last of Us. They make fantastic games. They're going through hell right now, and they just found out their company's getting renamed. So they got to be thinking, like, oh my God, do I have a job tomorrow? They don't know. I have never heard that out of Rare. And I don't think that's ever happened to anything from Bethesda, because Bethesda's doubled down on their stuff lately. Oh,
they're still doing their own shit for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even Microsoft comes out like, well, oh, we're going to do an event. It's Microsoft and Bethesda, an event. So they're even right. keeping Bethesda kind of its own thing right now, which they're fine with. As long as you are on Xbox when you're playing it, they don't care. Best case scenario, I think, for us, in my opinion.
I would just hate to see, like, QuakeCon become XboxCon. Like, QuakeCon has already been yeah. become, like, BethesdaCon.
It has, yeah.
And I could totally see that becoming MicrosoftCon, which Blizzard doesn't need that. Activision Blizzard does not need that at all. They've got their own shit already.
And it's so good.
I don't know. I'm right in the middle of whether or not I think this acquisition potential is a good thing. Like,
yeah,
they are two massive, massive companies.
This has got to be the biggest in gaming, dude. Honestly, I can't think of a bigger acquisition.
No, I can't either.
And when that ZeniMax one happened, I thought that was it. That you can't get bigger than I didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Yeah, they're making Tencent look like they're after Tencent, I think, at this point in gaming. That's the only thing that I could say about that.
Well, and right now PlayStation's doing this whole thing where, like, Call of Duty's too important to lose, which is a very interesting stance, but that's what they're currently claiming. But then there's this other side of things where they're like, well, we have to acquire to be able to keep up. And so it feels like everybody is in this big content race where like everybody's circling their wagons is what it sounds like, you know? And what do you guys know that I don't know? Is this worrying me a little bit? Why are you guys in such a rush to like gain as much companies as you can?
Yeah, I see that in other avenues, though. It's not just in gaming.
Yeah, streaming.
It's in everything, even like sports teams and stuff moving around. And so it's I don't know enough about the corporate world to be able to speak to it. I just know what I see. So I hope that it ends up being a good move for gamers. And I really, truly hope that it is for the people that work at Activision Blizzard. And if it does go through, I hope it's the change they need.
Yeah,
because this would be a very good success story for acquisitions and mergers in video games going forward.
One of the things I'll suggest to you guys, the Geek Freaks account is a fantastic account to follow on Twitter. But we also follow a lot of just random developers in these companies. Because, you know, you can follow the actual company on Twitter, and we do a few of them, but you're not going to get the real soul of the company unless you follow, like, the guy that works in QA on the fifth floor. When you follow those kind of people, which we do on a lot of them, especially Activision Blizzard, they'll throw out the tweets like, hey, guys, we're currently hiring for somebody in our department. I love working with Jerry. He's our boss, blah, 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 blah. You get to hear those kind of stories, and that kind of gets you a little bit behind the scenes a little. Yeah, it gets you a real vibe for the company. And those that are not tweeting much, that's also a part of the vibe, right? If somebody's not sharing stuff going on at work, it's because it's a job that they're just getting done.
Yeah.
It's not a family that they're building. And so poke around our Twitter account to see who we're following and follow those people. And there you go.
It's a good shout, for sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wanted to speak to about this in general?
My main thing is I want you guys to engage with us on our social medias and let us know what you think about these acquisitions. Actually write down, like, you know what, I'm a little worried about this, or, hey, I'm all on board, I'm optimistic. Because we really want to kind of hear what you guys are thinking. Here amongst us on our amazing Discord, link in the description, we talk about these when these announcements happen, and we're pretty split down the road, and we have fanboys that have been around for a long time on a lot of these companies. So I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, and if you want to further tell us what you think, make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We definitely appreciate that, and we appreciate you spending your time with us this week, and maybe next week Kyle will be back and we can talk about something that we'll have three differing opinions on rather than just the two this time.
Real quick, who do you think Kyle would have sided with in our, would you think he'd be optimistic or skeptic?
I think he probably would have sided with you on a lot of it. And then anytime I made some, like, a very poignant point, I think he would have been like, okay, yeah, you're right. But I think in general, it would have been you for sure.
Okay. Good.
I think you and Kyle agree on a lot of things.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all we got for you this week. Join us next week when we talk about something else to do with video games. And love you.